I'd like to share this morning a message that the Lord has been slowly laying on my heart, and I've never shared it before. And so I'm trusting that the Lord is going to allow me to communicate it to you as He's opening it to my heart. I would like to share this morning a little bit on the relationship between Elijah and Elisha. I think most of us are familiar enough with the story of Elijah and Elisha. Maybe you get them confused. Sometimes I do. The names are very similar, and it may be difficult sometimes for you to remember which one came first. Was it Elisha first or Elijah first? But these two men were prophets of God, and the one succeeded the other one. Elisha came in the footsteps and followed after the senior prophet. The senior prophet was Elijah, and Elijah trained Elisha. And I've been fascinated by that relationship for quite some time. And I guess the burdens that have been on my heart the last few months sort of came together recently in meditating on this relationship. And so I'd like to highlight some things for you on the relationship between Elisha and Elijah, who was his mentor. It's quite a couple of scenes for us in the Scripture that show us this relationship between the two. But the one that I'm meditating on this morning as maybe the pinnacle example, if you will, of the relationship between Elijah and Elisha happens at the River Jordan, right at the end of Elijah's physical life. And Elijah stands at the River Jordan. He's on his way to heaven. He's about to be the second person to be taken to heaven without going through death to get there. And Elijah stands at the River Jordan with his mantle in his hands. And the Bible tells us in 2 Kings that he smote the River Jordan with his mantle, and the river parted, and Elijah walked through. But it was not Elijah standing there alone, nor was it Elijah walking through alone. There was a young man who he had been discipling who was present with him, standing there at the River Jordan, at that natural barrier, at that crisis moment in Elijah's life. There was a young man there observing him. His name was Elisha. And Elisha had chosen to stick it out with Elijah, not just in this crisis day, but through many days. Elisha had been a servant of and a disciple of Elijah. And so Elisha is also standing there, and he witnesses Elijah striking the waters with his mantle, and he witnesses the waters parting and Elijah walking through. And you and I know the story. We know that just a few verses later, and we'll read it here, but in a few verses later, Elijah is caught up into the chariots, or by the chariots and horsemen of God, and he's caught up into heaven. And as he's being caught up and taken away into heaven, Elisha is there witnessing every single moment of what is going on. Elisha realizes that this is a significant moment. He does not want to miss anything. And so, as we say, Elisha has his eyes peeled, and he is watching every single moment, every move that occurs. And Elijah's mantle falls off of his body as he is caught up in physical form up into heaven. And Elisha picks up that mantle as a physical memory, you might say, something to remember Elijah and his life by. And then Elisha turns around and walks away from that scene where his master has just been caught up into heaven in front of his eyes. And Elisha turns away from that moment and walks back to the Jordan River. That barrier which has just been crossed by Elijah and Elisha going this direction away from Israel, now Elisha is standing at the River Jordan, needing to cross back over to Jericho, back into the land of Israel. And somehow I feel a great fellowship with Elisha when I ponder him standing at that river Jordan, a young prophet, having been mentored for years by the senior prophet, a young man having watched God work through the life of his mentor, work through the words and miracles that Elijah did. And now Elisha stands there at that river Jordan with the mantle of the prophet Elijah in his hand. And there's the river Jordan. And there is Elisha. And the Bible tells us that Elisha took Elijah's mantle and he struck the water. And he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And the waters parted. And Elisha also walked through the river Jordan, just as Elijah had done maybe an hour previous to that. I've been thinking a lot about that period, or that moment in Elisha's life, and realizing that he has just come into his own role as a prophet. And as the senior prophet has passed off the scene, now Elisha is picking up that role. This handover from Elijah to Elisha is so used in our word forms that we often refer to someone as having received the mantle. And we refer to someone as having received the mantle of leadership from this individual. And that comes from this story, because when Elijah was being caught up to heaven, his mantle fell down and Elisha grabbed that mantle and went back to the water and used that mantle exactly in the same way that Elijah had used that mantle, and the waters parted. I've been meditating a lot on this because I feel very much like Elisha many times. I feel like a young man who has been privileged to walk in the footsteps of older, wiser, more experienced, more godly men. And I have had the privilege of serving under them and serving beside them and learning from them. And yet we live in a period, just a natural period that has to do with age. We live in a period in which our Elijahs are being taken away from us. And we live in a period in which our Elijahs are going to be taken away from us. And so there's a natural handover which occurs from the senior prophets to the junior prophets, from the older men to the younger men, from those who have been in charge to those who need to pick up, if you will, the mantle of leadership. And I'm not referring specifically to the mantle of church leadership or missionary leadership, because I'm not thinking only of myself. I'm just giving you maybe a picture as to why I've been meditating on it. I think that it's not only in my situation that we face this handover. I've been thinking about our churches. I think about the charity church and the fact that my father is no longer here, and he definitely functioned as an Elijah for many years in this church. And so I think about the fact that you all, including myself, are missing that old prophet. I'm very aware of that coming back on furlough. I think about it a lot more on furlough than I do when I'm in Africa, because I'm used to being away from my father in Africa. So I think about it not only from just the perspective of my own life, but I think about it for you all. And I also think about it for our wider church setting and for the fact that we have a lot of godly older prophets who are now beginning to pass off the scene or fade away from their original strength. And I realize that there's a handover which occurs. And because of my own personal experience, I realize that that handover has immense possibilities of a double portion of the old prophet's spirit coming on the new prophets. I also realize that that handover moment has an incredible possibility of being the end of what the old prophet did and fought for and believed in. Because whenever there's a handover, there's that scary moment. I know I've preached in this pulpit before about handing over the baton and the fact that there's a scary moment when a baton is being passed back to the next runner. Because in order for that runner to run, he has to grasp the baton. And in order for that runner to grasp the baton, I have to let go of it. And so there's always this handover, this scary moment of handover where the old prophets and the old guard and the old fathers and the old elders are handing down to a new generation. And I view it as a moment of incredible possibility. I also view it as a moment of incredible risk. So if you'll allow me again to paint a picture, because I do think very much like my dear African people because of all my years of communicating there. As I prayed over this picture and my own life experience, I picture Elisha standing at the River Jordan with the mantle of Elijah in his hand. But in my little mind, I picture that there were canoe rental places lined up along the River Jordan, offering other possibilities of getting back across the challenge of the River Jordan. Can you see what that might mean? I see Elisha standing there in a moment of faith and a moment of doubt. I see Elisha standing there aware that he's holding the mantle of Elijah and remembering the miracles which God has done through his mentor. But I also imagine, because Elisha was a human, that he stood there and looked at that water, and there must have been at least some question in his mind as to whether it was going to work for him. And in my own life, I have encountered these same moments of question where I have stood at River Jordans that I have watched my father and other godly men in front of me cross through. And now I stand at those similar water crossings, those similar challenges, those similar moments of decision, and I recognize that there's this great possibility of me picking up the mantle and using it to divide the River Jordan. But I also realize at the same moment that there are canoe rental places lined up along the Jordan River which offer easier, faithless shortcuts to get across the River Jordan. Christy and I have a bit of a unique perspective because of all of our travels. Because in these few weeks that we've been back in the States, we've already been with many more churches than most of you interact with. And I don't say that proudly. Thank you for allowing us to go and minister there. We do it for you. But as we travel and minister, I encounter many of God's people. Some of them in my generation, some of them younger than me, and some of them quite a bit older than me, who are feeling this risky moment that we are living in, a moment in which we must firmly grasp the mantle which has been handed to us, a moment in which we must pick up the faith of those who walked before us, but also a moment in which we could easily compromise. A moment in which we could come up with easier options. A moment in which our doubt could win out and we might decide to wait for the next ferry instead of opening a way with the mantle of Elijah. So that's the burden that I would like to share, because I felt like it's not enough to just look at Elisha standing there holding Elijah's mantle. There are things which went before, and it's important for us to look at those things which meant before, because they might be instructive as to how and why Elisha was able to stand there and with faith use the mantle, name, authority, and God of Elijah to open a way through the Jordan River. Does that make sense? So let's look in 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 8. I've told you the story, but I don't want to just paraphrase it. I want us to hear it from the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Verse 11, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. I think we'll stop reading there. This is, as I mentioned before, this is the pinnacle moment of the relationship between Elijah and his disciple Elisha. But this is by no means the first moment. It's not the first moment in which Elijah and Elisha were relating. Elisha was not somebody who Elijah saw on the day he was about to be taken away up to heaven and said, Elisha, follow me. Elisha and Elijah had had a relationship for years prior to these verses, and it's instructive for us to go back and look at that relationship. It's also, incidentally, not the first time where Elijah's mantle is involved in Elisha's life. So if we track backwards and follow the theme of Elijah and Elisha's relationship, and particularly Elisha's relationship to the mantle of Elijah, we're going to see a couple of instructive things. In 1 Kings, going back, 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 Kings 19 follows on the story of the Mount Carmel experience where God wrought a great victory through Elijah. And Elijah was very discouraged following that victory because the king, the queen, was seeking after him to kill him. And in the midst of his discouragement, God came and ministered to him and gave him several instructions. A couple of kings who were to be anointed king and a prophet who was to be anointed as Elijah's successor. We'll break in verse 19. 1 Kings 19:19. So based on those instructions that God had given him, we have verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he, Elisha, left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. So this is not the first time. The pinnacle story that we've been looking at is not the first interaction between Elijah and Elisha. Here is the story of where Elijah finds Elisha. And as God instructed him to do, God said that he should anoint him as the successor prophet to Elijah. And in those days, there was a significance placed upon a mantle, or if you will, a scarf. And so the mantle of Elijah being thrown over the shoulders of Elisha was seen to be very significant. Elisha immediately realized, through the eyes of his culture, he realized that when the prophet walks by and throws his scarf or his mantle over my shoulders, that's very significant. But look at the response of Elisha, because this was the moment in which he was called of God to be a prophet. And we could look at a whole message just on his response to God's call in his life. But look at his response. It says he ran after Elijah. And I don't think I'm reading too much significance in here to suggest that Elisha carried that attitude in his relationship to Elijah from there on forward, from there on. In their relationship, Elisha was ever ready to run after Elijah. This was a young man who, recognizing the call of God on his life, did not shrink back, did not try to make a deal, did not try to see if there was a way to postpone it. In fact, he rather rushed in to respond to the call of God on his life. He ran after Elijah. He said, "Let me go and say goodbye to my parents and I will follow you." And a few minutes later, we have Elisha. I told you I get him confused sometimes. We have Elisha making a sacrifice out of his life, out of his employment as a farmer, out of the oxen and the implements with which he had just been plowing. And he makes a sacrifice to signify his commitment to the calling of God on his life. And he says goodbye to his family. And this chapter ends by saying he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Elisha the prophet standing there with the mantle of Elijah and striking the waters and a great miracle occurring looks pretty glorious. But it's important for us to recognize that before that glorious miracle done with Elijah's mantle, Elisha was simply a servant of Elijah. He was mentored through being a servant to the prophet. He was discipled through being the one who cared for the practical needs of the senior prophet, Elijah. And so I think that's significant. I think it's significant that we see his attitude in relationship to the calling of God. It's significant that we recognize how he viewed Elijah and the honor with which he held him. It's significant that he was willing to serve him practically for the opportunity to be discipled by him. Does that make sense? And so that chapter, or this first interaction between Elisha and Elijah, closes with Elisha following after Elijah and ministering to him. And that would just mean practically, probably carrying buckets of water so that the prophet could have a bath, probably starting the fire so that the prophet could have a cup of tea, probably going to the market to buy the food provisions so that the prophet could eat. Very practical service that Elisha provided for Elijah. We get another glimpse. We have to go forward into 2 Kings for this glimpse, but we get another glimpse of the kind of service which Elisha rendered to Elijah. That is in 2 Kings chapter 3. Obviously, 2 Kings chapter 3 is chronologically much later than the passing of Elijah off of the scene, but we get this little glimpse in 2 Kings chapter 3. The king of Moab has refused to pay tribute to King Joram, and King Jehoshaphat decides to join up with King Joram to fight against the Moabites. And all these prophets are coming and giving their various prophecies. And yet Jehoshaphat is uncomfortable with all these various prophets who are coming. And he finally says in verse 11, "But Jehoshaphat said, 'Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?' And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, 'Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah.'" What a very telling glimpse this is of the relationship between Elijah and Elisha. Remember that we're living in a period before running water. And this happens to me all the time in Africa. If you're trying to wash your hands without running water, you either put your dirty hands into a full bucket of water, thereby soiling all the water, or you get a cup of water and try to pour it over while washing your hands, which obviously is very challenging to do. But if someone sees you, if someone sees me attempting to wash my hands while pouring water for myself, it's a very common thing for someone to run over and say, "Oh, let me pour for you." And so someone will pour a nice stream of water and then you have running water that you can use to wash your hands. And that's the picture listed here. Oh, we're looking for a true prophet. Jehoshaphat feels a little uncomfortable by joining up with King Joram to fight against the Moabites. And he says, isn't there some prophet? Surely among all the people of Israel and Judah, there should be some prophet that we could inquire of the Lord. And they said, oh yeah, there is one. His name is Elisha. He's a young man, but he's the one who used to pour water over the hands of Elijah. That was, if you will, the pedigree of Elisha. He's the one who poured water over the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, yes, the Lord speaks through him. Yeah, let him prophesy. The Lord will speak through him. The fact that he has spent years being a servant of Elijah means he's learned the ways of Elijah. God will speak through him. I love that little glimpse. Here's a young man who has gained credibility to be a prophet of God. And when they want to mention who he is, they say, well, his name is Elisha, son of Shaphat. But he's the one who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. And Elijah was respected. And Elijah was known to the people of Israel. And they said, yeah, that God will speak through him. Let's ask him what we should do. Because if he's poured water over the hands of Elijah, then he's probably a prophet of God. So I said to you that my burden for this message comes from my own experience of being a young man, realizing, yes, most directly, realizing that I've lost my senior prophet. But in a more general sense, realizing that as the years go by, your prophets, your elders, your godly men, those who have gone before us, those older people who have charted a course for us, they are eventually going to be removed from us. And so I spend a lot of time thinking about what crucial moments we are living in and the kind of response that you and I need to have, recognizing that Elijah is being taken away. We didn't read the entire story there in 2 Kings chapter 2, but as Elijah was realizing God was about to carry him away, he keeps saying to Elisha, Elisha, you can stay here. I'm going to go a little bit further. Okay, now you can stay here. I'm going to go further. And Elisha continues to say to Elisha, as sure as you are alive and as sure as I am alive, I'm not going to leave you. I am going to stay beside you. You realize that it's about time for you to leave me. I realize that you're about to leave me, and I'm not about to let you out of my sight. And there again, we get another glimpse of the maybe tenacity with which Elisha served Elijah. The way that he valued their relationship and his desire to be right there with Elijah. Some of you may remember me recounting this story to you before, but it's a precious memory to me regarding this story. During the months when my father was sick with cancer, there were periods where he did not really understand how sick he was. And there were moments where he would ask us, why are all of you children just staying here day after day? Because, you know, two or three of us would be there and then we would leave and other siblings would come. And basically for 3 months of his sickness, there were one or two or three of us children there all the time. And I remember one time sitting beside him and he said, Daniel, I don't understand why all of you are just hanging around here all the time. And I said, well, Papa, I said, maybe it would help you to understand if I said it this way. I said, Papa, you are our Elijah. And I'm Elisha. And your children are your Elishas. And we want to be here. And he thought about that for a minute. He said, okay, now I understand. And so that memory is especially precious to me because while his mind was beginning to fail and it was difficult for him to conceptualize some things, he remembered that interaction between the prophet Elijah and he remembered Elisha's desire to be right there when Elijah was taken away. and He could understand our desire to be right there. It may be that you're thinking this morning, well, I'm a little uncomfortable with the concept of a physical mantle because we don't have physical mantles. And as a people, we're a little afraid of some physical relic becoming an icon, if you will. Do you know what an icon is? An icon is like a spiritual symbol, a historical spiritual symbol, which eventually gets worshipped as a symbol instead of being used to remember something of significance. After God wrought a great victory through Gideon, they made an ephod, a beautiful gold and jeweled like breastplate, you might say. They made that out of the jewelry that the people had taken off of the Midianites. But the Bible tells us that towards the end of Gideon's life and after Gideon died, the people started to worship that thing. They started to worship that ephod. That's an icon. And so I realize that we're maybe a little bit concerned. Maybe there's a question in your mind. Well, what are you speaking about, Daniel, when you refer to the mantle of Elijah? But realize that this is in the Old Testament and Elisha physically held a mantle. Obviously, when we spiritualize this and bring it into the New Testament, I'm not referring to a specific piece of cloth, a shirt, or a Bible, or a car, or any specific physical thing that we can hold on to from my father or from other godly mentors in our lives. But I am referring to the example that has been laid in front of us of godly men, elders who have gone before us, people whose lives, whose doctrine, whose practice you and I have the privilege to emulate. That is, in my view, the mantle of Elijah. And that's how I would like to apply it this morning. We, in this fellowship, we have already lost some of our Elijahs. So in that way, each of us today is the next generation, even if you're maybe at the top side or the older side of this fellowship. In that way, we are the next generation. Those who have gone on to heaven have left behind certain values and truths and doctrines and an example of their life and their passion for Christ. And you and I hold, by default, we hold that mantle in our hands. And so I think this story has good applications for our lives. We also have some who will soon be taken away. I pray that our elders and the older brothers and sisters in this church may be allowed to stay with us for many more years. But that's not a guarantee. There's no way for us as a younger generation to sit back and say, well, we still have Brother Aaron for another 20 years, or we'll still have this brother for another 30 years. Those things are not promised to us. And so as a church that's in the middle of a handover from one generation to another generation, there needs to be an attitude of Elisha towards Elijah, which says, how can I serve? How can I follow? Where can I pour water on the hands of my Elijah who's still alive? Those mentors and spiritual examples who are still around for me to copy, for me to follow, for me to emulate. Because I recognize that one day these Elijahs will be taken away. And if you follow the story out, the older the Elijah gets, the closer Elijah gets to heaven, the more, with the greater tenacity, Elisha follows him, not wanting to miss anything. Right. Think about it. If the first time that Elijah said to Elisha, God's calling me to go on a long walk, why don't you stay here? If he would have stayed there, he would have missed the opportunity to stand beside Elijah for the last miracle of Elijah's ministry. Do you see that? If Elisha would have said, okay, you're going on a long walk, I'll stay here. But he didn't say that. He said, no, as long as you're alive, as sure as you're alive and as sure as I'm alive, I am going to stay with you. And because of that tenacious following the life and example of Elijah, Elisha was privileged to stand there and watch that water part. Can you imagine what it was like for Elisha to sort of walk behind Elijah on dry ground through the Jordan River? How many times has that happened in the Bible? Only a few. And Elisha got to witness that with Elijah because he had an attitude that said, I'm going to stay right with you, Elijah. A couple of verses come to mind. Hebrews chapter 13. We'll just read these briefly. They're pretty self-instructive in the context of what we're looking at this morning. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Whose faith follow. Remember those who have the rule over you and follow their faith, considering the end of their conversation. Imagine what a verse like that would have meant to Elisha. Follow after the faith of those who have been in charge of you and follow their faith, looking to the end of their conversation. What was the end of Elijah's conversation? He had just been taken up in a whirlwind to join a heavenly chariot. Follow the faith of those who have been your leaders, looking at the end of their conversation, looking at where their faith is leading them. Philippians chapter 4. Paul is writing to the Philippian church, and he says this, in verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's pretty basic. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing for you and I to be able to receive that instruction from both our Elijahs who have already passed off the scene and our current Elijahs, those who mentor and guide and preach and teach us. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's very basic. And you and I are privileged to have had and to have Elijahs in our midst. Oh, that we would value them. Oh, that we would value the things that we've received and heard and seen and learned from them. And that we would just simply do. One word. All those clauses just explain what he's getting to. The important part of that sentence is do. Those things, these are the things I'm going to talk about, the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And what will be the response or what will be the outcome? The God of peace shall be with you. I'd like to challenge you and I this morning to value the life and examples of the Elijahs who have left us. I'd like for us to not lightly hold their mantle. I'd like for us to value highly the Elijahs who are still among us. I want you older men to know that I value you. I value your example. And I would like to do the things that I've learned and received and heard and seen in you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All these are familiar verses, but I think the context of Elijah and Elisha's relationship might throw some blessed light on these New Testament verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is writing, one Elijah to an Elisha, Paul to his Timothy. He writes this, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. This was counsel from an older man to a younger man, and I think it's probably instructive for us to note that sometimes younger men need this instruction, and I'll be honest that I have needed this instruction. It's very easy for us to sort of strike out on our own. It's sort of easy for us to disregard the example gone before us. But Paul says to Timothy, you keep doing, you continue the things which you learned and have been assured of. Why should you keep doing those things? Knowing from whom you learned them. Look at the life example that you're copying. Look at the example of those that have gone in front of you and continue doing those things. Why? Because you know who you learned them from. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." For some reason, when I read double honor, it reminded me of another double which we just spoke of earlier, and I wondered if they might be connected. Elijah said to Elisha, "Well, what can I do for you? Ask me for something. What would you like, Elisha?" Only a few people have been asked that kind of a question, sort of like the question that God asked of Solomon. Elijah says to Elisha, "Ask me for something. What do you want?" And Elisha says, "I'm asking for a double portion of your spirit." It would seem like Elisha was one of those who counted his elder worthy of double honor. And I wonder if there's a significance. I don't wonder. I know there's a significance between the respect that a young prophet held for his senior prophet and the fact that when that senior prophet passed off the scene, a double portion of God's spirit was given to Elisha. Amen? Can you see that link? If that link works at all, then it becomes vitally important for us younger Elishas to honor the older Elijahs in our life so that that double honor could equal a double blessing in our lives. Lastly, in this theme, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13 says this. Oh, we'll read verse 12 first. "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. I think these five New Testament verses should be enough for us to add exclamation points behind the respect relationship that we see between Elisha and Elijah, and to realize that it probably played a significant role in Elijah's life. So what is my burden? My burden is that we've lost some of our Elijahs. I wouldn't like for us to make icons out of them. I wouldn't like for us to worship their memory. It wouldn't honor them and it wouldn't honor God for us to sit around and just worship the memories of Elijahs who have gone. On the other hand, it would be fitting and it would be very wise for us to carefully, respectfully pick up the mantle that fell from them as they departed us. And it behooves us that we are willing to use that mantle, that we are able to follow the example that they laid before us, that we are able to have the faith that we are able to hold the faith that they held, that we are able to use that faith to fight the spiritual battles that they fought and overcame in their lives. We too must part the Jordan River in our generation. Every generation must stand at the Jordan. Every generation must encounter their difficulties. Every generation must define what it means to fight against the world and the flesh and the devil in their generation. Thankfully, you and I are not the first people to stand at the Jordan. And I feel keenly that most of us in this room here have been privileged to stand as Elisha did beside several Elijahs. We've been able to watch them work miracles. We've been able to listen to the name of the God that they called on. We've been able to observe their faith. And so I'd like to encourage you and I, as we stand at our Jordan Rivers, our challenges, our difficulties, our battles, we would remember the example of those who stood beside us and the miracles that they did and the way that they fought for God and the faith as the Bible says, the faith once delivered to the saints. That we would hold on to that and that we would use it. That we would also in our generation be willing to strike the waters and part it in the name of the God of Elijah. That we would not stand at the River Jordan puzzled by why there are difficulties in front of us. Sometimes I say to myself, and I say to you like I say to myself, Daniel, why are you surprised that it's a battle? Why are you surprised that there are difficulties? Why did you somehow think that it was going to be easy for you? Must you be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas, difficult waters, fought with the devil tooth and nail every day of their life to follow the Lord Jesus, and it should be easy for us? Oh no. Sure, I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil. I'll endure the pain, supported by Thy Word, empowered by the memory of the God of Elijah and the miracles that He has done, holding firmly to the truths that these godly men in front of us have lived out. I too will cross my Jordan. Amen? That's part of my burden. Second part of my burden is that we still have some Elijahs. If you're a young man and you say, well, who's my Elijah? Find one. We still have godly older men around us, both in this church and in other churches. To my generation, I beg of us, let us observe and follow and copy and watch the lives of the Elijahs that God has placed around us. Because they are there so that we can learn from them. Our faith will be strengthened as we watch God part waters in their lives. Amen? And though Elisha had never done a miracle, when he stood there at the River Jordan, he stood there with confidence in the God who he had watched do miracle after miracle after miracle for Elijah. And so we as young Christians can draw strength for our journeys. Though we may not have a great catalog of things that God has done for us personally, we can draw strength for our journeys by sidling up to an Elijah and saying, can I watch God work in your life? Can you tell me what God has done for you? Can I copy you? Can I emulate you? Amen? Amen? Thirdly, I'm burdened that we have some younger Elijahs among us. Let us serve them. So that through that daily contact with them, we may become like Elisha. Known and identified as the one who served Elijah. I think if you and I recognize the privilege that we have to have godly older men, and I do definitely speak of my elders, I also speak of other non-ordained older men in this church and others. We have godly men around us. If we knew the value of their example and life, they would have a dozen people offering to pour water on their hands. And I realize that has to be updated for our culture. We all have running water. But there are ways in which you and I can serve. Let us serve. So that in that process, we can be discipled to be the next generation. To be an Elisha who can stand with confidence in God, with the mantle of Elijah in his hands, facing his own Jordan River crossing. And fourthly, my burden is this. Elisha stood at the River Jordan, where he had just witnessed the God of Elijah coming through for Elijah. He watched the waters part at Elijah's word and as he struck the water. Now was Elisha's chance. And I feel keenly the fact that every single one of us and every single generation has a chance. Every one of us must stand at the Jordan River. All of us face difficulties and barriers and things that we cannot walk through without the help of God. The power of God must be proved to be real in the lives of each one of us. so that Christianity stays real from generation to generation. It has been said that there are no grandsons in the kingdom of heaven, only sons. We must experience God for ourselves. And right now, you and I face a grand opportunity for us to see the power of God worked out in our lives, in our generations. Why do I say that? Because we stand in front of a Jordan River. Many great challenges to the church. Many great challenges to our personal lives. Many threats and temptations coming against us from the world and the flesh and the devil. You and I need the power of God to part those waters and enable us to walk through. We do. And so my fourth burden is that we would stand there as Elisha did, and that we would not turn away from the River Jordan, that we would not walk away from the challenge, that we would not look for a canoe rental so that we can somehow make it across to the other side without the miraculous power of God parting the waters. I'm burdened that we not walk up and down the bank of the River Jordan confused by the fact that there's a barrier in front of us. And I speak for my generation because I hear this from so many people in my generation that we're confused by the fact that there are so many difficulties in front of us. Hello, guys. It's always been and always is going to be a battle to follow the Lord Jesus. So let us be encouraged. As we stand at our River Jordan, don't wander up and down it confused by its presence. Stand where Elijah stood. Stand with the God of Elijah. Stand with the mantle, the belief system, the faith, the confidence of Elijah. And then strike. Be willing to do something for God. Be willing to launch out in faith that God is going to come through for you as He did for Elijah. Will Elisha risk obedience? Or will he decide to stay on the other side of Jordan? There were, after all, 2.5 tribes on that side of Jordan. Will he decide to camp on the other side of Jordan, looking at Jordan as an obstacle that he cannot cross? Will he walk back and forth on the bank of the Jordan River just confused by the challenges in front of him? Will he seek to hire a canoe to get across? Or will he, as he did, will you and I, as Elisha did, stand there in confidence and faith that Elijah's God is our God and part the waters? Will you and I stand in our generation, facing the challenges that we cross, that we must pass through? Will we stand there and recognize that those who have gone before us have crossed these barriers, these challenges, these difficulties, these battles? They've walked through them before. And the same God who enabled them to walk through, who parted the river for them, that same God is our God. And so when Elisha called upon the name of the God of Elijah, he was not saying it wasn't his God. He was linking back to the faith and experience that he had witnessed in his mentor. What parted the waters for Elisha was not calling the name of Elijah. It was the faith that he had to step out and call on the God of Elijah. It was the faith that Elisha had, which activated that miraculous power of God and opened up a way through the Jordan River. You and I, we've been privileged to watch Elijah. We've been privileged to watch God work in Elijah's life. Many Elijahs, not one. Many Elijahs in our lives. We've witnessed God's faithfulness in their lives. We've witnessed revival in their lives. We've witnessed holiness in their lives. We've witnessed a careful interaction between the church and the world in their lives. We've witnessed a confidence in the power of God in their lives. Whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? Now when you stand at the Jordan River, think back. Because the church has stood at the Jordan River before. And your Elijahs have stood at the Jordan River before. And I say to myself, and I say to you, don't be surprised that there are challenges. Don't be shocked that there are difficulties. What do you have in your hand, Elisha? Use that mantle, use that faith, use that confidence and the God in whom that confidence was placed, and see if the Jordan River won't open for you. I said to the Lord in prayer last night, Lord, help me to know how to inspire confidence in your people. Because I sense that sometimes we don't value the mantle. I sometimes don't value the mantle. I sometimes don't value the privilege that it has been to watch godly older men walk with God for many years. And I sense in some of you, and I sense in myself, a bit of confusion and desire to roam up and down the bank of the Jordan trying to figure out how on earth are we going to make it through the challenges in front of us. How is the church going to survive? How can we maintain godliness? How can I hold on to faith in these dark days? And yet, we've watched Elijah's. May God remind you, may God remind me of the miracles that we have witnessed. We have been privileged in this fellowship to see the hand of God working in many lives over many years. May we stand and face the difficulties of our generation's walk with God. May we face them remembering we've stood here before. We stood here and watched Elijah part these waters. And the God of Elijah is our God. And those waters can be parted. May you be inspired this morning to remember the examples that have been lived in front of you and to hold on to them. We should not lightly throw away the examples that have been handed to us. We've watched examples of truly godly lives. We are watching them. May we copy those examples. May you and I be inspired to pick up the battle that is the Christian life for us in 2015. May we be inspired to pick up that mantle and fight forward in the name of the God of Elijah. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will take your word in several verses in the New Testament and in the book of 1 and 2 Kings. And I pray, Lord, that you would cast the light of your illuminating spirit on these simple words. Lord, I pray that you would inspire confidence in the hearts of your people. Every generation must stand up and fight. And I pray, Lord, that I and my generation would be willing to fight. That we would recognize the value of the examples that we have been able to watch. That we would recognize that it's the same God that we're serving. The same power is available. The same principles work. The same faith is efficacious in our lives as it was in theirs. Father, encourage the hearts of your people today. May we be armed and energized for the struggle. We want to stand. And we want to fight. And we want to cross through the Jordan to the glory of God. Lord, bless your people today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. Amen. Amen. I had to think of Psalm 78. It says here, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear. This is words of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Then Asaph says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. And what is he about to utter? He says, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Then he goes on to say that we're not to hide them. We will not hide them from their children. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children. Passing it on. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. That they might set their hope in God. Our children might set their hope in God. Amen. And not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That's how Asaph saw it. He saw the need of uttering those deep things that the fathers had told him, that he had learned from the fathers. So let's value our fathers, our Elijahs, in our lives. As a congregation, as brothers and sisters here this morning. Amen. Well, I'd like to open it up, and if someone has something to share, I know it's late, but Brother Daniel's not among us real often, so I'd like to give opportunity. If you have a comment or a testimony from the message, just slip up your hand, and a microphone will be gotten to you.
I'm very thankful for the message, and I want to seek the Lord on more application for my life in some of these areas. Also was very grateful for the expression of confidence, as Brother Daniel shared, that it's time to be confident in the Lord and in the blessings we've been given, and that we don't need to fear in this time, but to trust. That definitely spoke to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good. Others that care to share? Appears a sister. Brother, first of all. Brother Emmanuel.
I was thinking as Brother Daniel was sharing, and in a sense, he may have picked up his father's mantle, and I was pondering, I thought, well then, is there a mantle for me? But I really like the picture there of Elijah staying with Elijah, being there when he parted, and they saw, and Elisha saw Elijah going up, and he received that mantle. And I thought about the disciples and Jesus. Jesus, when in the book of Acts there, he gave them instruction, gave them a blessing, gave them the last instruction, and then he went up. And they stood there watching as he went up. And it would seem to me that they would have picked up his mantle. Sometimes the coming of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost is spoken of as a mantling. That the disciples were mantled with the power of the Holy Ghost at that time. And that they went forth and preached boldly, and they did the miracles that Jesus did. They raised the dead. They opened the eyes of the blind, and they followed in His footsteps. And they really did pick up that mantle that Jesus had. And so I was pondering that. I thought, yes, there is a mantle that's available for any one of us. And that's the mantle of Jesus Christ. And it's the Holy Ghost. It's the power of God. It's the miracles of God working through us. And it's Him working through us. And in the book of Mark, the end of Luke ends with Jesus giving them a blessing as He leaves. And in Mark, He also gives them a blessing. And then it says, so then as the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs and signs following. Amen. So I believe there is a mantle that's there for anyone, everyone who will pick it up, believe it, and walk it out.
Thanks, Brother Emmanuel. I had to think too of the of Jesus there, where he said, "Greater works shall you do." You know, it gets exciting. Elisha did, and this is kind of secondhand, and I'm not sure if I did an in-depth study, but when I was on the mission field, Brother Darrell told me, he said, Elisha did exactly double the recorded miracles that Elijah's miracles are recorded. So that gets exciting. You know, he received a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And, yeah, was used mightily. Someone else, a sister? Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you a lot, Daniel, for sharing. It was very encouraging, and I definitely want to, move forward in faith and battles that come along in life and, conquer them with Christ.
Amen, sister. God bless you. Somebody else? Go ahead, Darius. Up here is a... Do we have a sister first? Go ahead, Darius.
Yeah, I just want to bless the Lord for the message today. Thank you, Daniel. I was very encouraged and strengthened to move forward, not only in this message, but the last one he gave. I think it was at Joy. I was very encouraged and to go on with the Lord and power of His might. So yeah, I just want to encourage each of us to take on that example of those around us, and that we would be able to serve the Lord in that way. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you, brother. We have a sister? Go ahead.
I love the picture of Elisha running after and pouring water on the hands of service, the following, that the wholehearted pursuit after God, and the scripture on the board as well. If any man love God, he's known by God, and the results was the God's presence with him, and we have that intimacy with God as we pursue after it. He's looking for those of us who will use all of our energy, use all of our desire, press forward, and there is a reward, both in this life and in eternity, of knowing God and He knowing us. And I appreciated that.
Brother in the back, brother, and then a hand up front.
I thank the Lord, Brother Daniel, for the way in which you handled this topic with grace and with balance, to not make an icon, but to rather honor, value, and esteem and follow after the example of life. And I also just want to encourage us that I believe the Lord is giving us an opportunity with Brother Dale Heise coming in a few weeks. And I look at Brother Dale Heise as an Elijah. He has walked through a lot, and he's a humble brother, and God has opened the door for him to come and minister among us. And I certainly don't want to put Dale on a pedestal at all. We're looking unto Jesus. But Brother Dale is a dear brother to me. I have been blessed with his humility and his grace. And I look forward to what God will do in my own life and in the life of the congregation as we open our hearts to the Spirit of Elijah working through our brother, the Spirit of God. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Aaron. Lester? Is there anyone else? Slip your hand up. Brother Lester, go ahead.
I was very blessed with the message. As I think of it, think over it, one of the last things that it says in the Old Testament, that in Malachi, where it says about the connection between drawing the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children's to the father. He wanted connection there. Mm-hmm. And this last week I heard something that I never heard before, and it was a different way of saying it. This man said that somebody I'd never heard of speaking in front of some people, and he said about people, we're in a time where there's so much connection, but people are lacking vitamin C. He said it's the connect, the vitamin connect. So it's that connection that Elijah had with Elijah is so important in our day and age, to have the very physical connection and interaction rather than electronic.
That's good, Lester. Amen. Caleb?
Yes. It's a blessing to be with many of you here that I've known for years. I'd like to say that I think I can probably speak for a lot of young people just expressing a longing that maybe doesn't often get expressed, that many of us, as we've been growing up, as we've been committing our lives to the Lord, growing in the Lord, we do long to follow older men. We do long to have some kind of discipleship, to be able to get a little bit of that spirit, that mantle. And one of the things that I've faced a lot of, just I've thought about a lot is, you know, many times it's very difficult for us to, we feel like our leaders are sort of untouchable. We don't really know how we can pour water on their hands, or we don't really know how we can get close enough to them to allow them to rub off on us. And that challenge of discipleship and how there can be that day in and day out interaction is really, yeah, I'm sure it's something that's difficult to work out. But I think that there are young men and women who are longing for that kind of interaction. And I see some of that happening for young people through things like the Sentu School. And I'm excited about that. May the Lord teach us how to be discipled, how to disciple each other, how to grow together. And just to be able to pass on, like we heard, that faith and passion after God. And I'd also just like to say that let us remember that as much as we can learn from any one or number of human beings that are our leaders, they're still human. And, you know, we look at our own leaders and parents and we can see where they've made mistakes, and we can also see where they've really succeeded. And I think that as young people, we should take heart and learn from both and ultimately look to Christ as our pattern and walk that walk of faith. And as young people, I think I can speak for a lot of us. We long to find those Elijahs that we can follow after, that are walking in faith but aren't taking the canoe across the river. And sometimes that's a challenge. And so just an exhortation and just my heart to, yes, let's press forward. And we do want to be able to follow. And ultimately, none of us can look to a man, but we want to be able to copy the faith of our leaders. And just, I'm sure this is something that is talked about, but again, just to put the question in the air, how can we promote that interaction, even on a daily level, that allows younger brothers to catch the wisdom and passion of older brothers to pass on?
Thank you, Caleb. Anyone else? Up here's a hand yet, a sister.
I guess I can't speak for the guy's side of things, but I just want to thank all of you ladies that have allowed me to be a little young friend to you or whatever. And I know just letting me ask you all kinds of questions and answering and sharing little things from your hearts. And I just want to thank you so much. And please keep it up. Thanks for being making me feel like it was fine to consider you a friend. I want to thank you for that.
Also take the challenge, Brother Daniel, you know. Let's take the challenge, us fathers and mothers, and maybe older generation, if you may, to be those Elijahs that are an example for others to follow. It's a challenge to my heart.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.